Facebook is it in between. So, honourable members, if you would like to raise your hands, anyone who would like to pose questions to Professor, in order we have Honourable van der Westhuizen, Honourable Mabasa, Honourable Khadebe, at this point Honourable Njikalana. Thank you.
Good morning, Doctor. Doctor, can you briefly tell us about your past experience and relate that to the contribution that you can make to the National Lottery Board? And also, what in your opinion would be most important criteria for a board member?
Thank you very much, honorable member. And thank you very much for the chairperson and the DTI to afford me this opportunity to come and appear before you, honorable members. I am Professor Njengezeni Alfred Nebutanda, all the way from Limpopo Province. I've been a member of Parliament, the Provincial Parliament, for one term, and then I went out just to go and assist the Department of Transport provincially to regulate the public transport industry, and in this case, the taxi recapitalization, which we all know. Well, I have listed my qualifications in the CV that I forwarded to the department. I am a professional, I'm a scholar, I've studied up to date. I think I might be having no less than 13 qualifications, of which one of them is Master's in Business Administration, Professor in Environmental Sciences. Now, as I am now, I'm in the private sector, that is mining industry. In 2006, I was appointed by the Minister of Trade and Industry to serve as a member of the distributing agency for the MLB, of which I'm still. I just left the committee yesterday. We have been busy adjudicating applications. Well, ever since I joined the MLB in the form of serving under the Arts, Culture, National Heritage, and Ecotourism Distributing Agency, this has afforded me an opportunity that I feel one can serve the community by making sure that the NLB, the NLDTF, as we know, which is undergoing a tremendous transformation in order to satisfy the majority of South Africans. I've seen a lot of mistakes from the DAs, the charity, the arts, and then the sport and recreation, and even the miscellaneous. And also looking at the legislation and check what the legislators had intended to do, I realized that there are a lot of gaps, that some of us who have been in the in politics and also in business and also as a professional, one can come and add a value in terms of making sure that indeed the intention of the legislators somewhere in 1996 I think has to be fulfilled in terms of making sure that money goes to people who need it, not people who, by way of corrupt tendencies and by way of, you know, taking advantage of maybe being a DA member or an NLB member, you have an organization that will, you know, scoop a lot of money, whereas people at the rural areas are not getting any sense of what the lottery intends to do. So this is what I think one can offer in the NLB, looking at the experience that I've gathered so far, and also the experience that I gathered when Minister Jeff Kadele appointed me to chair all the 9 provincial operating licensing boards to regulate the taxi industry, which you all know that it is volatile, but I thank God I managed to make them aware that government is government, it has got teeth. If anybody wants to disturb it, it will bite.
Thank you. The Honourable Mabasa.
Ndi macheloni vo Professor Nevutanda. My question is, what do you envisage as the main functions of the National Lotteries Board?
Thank you very much. The Act is very clear. The National Lotteries Board is charged with the responsibility of, number one, to regulate this industry. There are so many things that one can talk about the regulatory function. The regulatory function entails making sure that the incidental lotteries, the national lottery, and even those societal lotteries are working under a strict law, and they have to be monitored. So that is the function of the lotteries board. The other function, which is very, very controversial, but well, I know why the Act made it so, is to make sure that they administer the NLDTF, which, as I'm talking now, the reason why money is not going to the people on time is because there is a tug of war between the NLB and the DAs. Because the DA says, we adjudicate and we allocate. Who are you to object to what we have already satisfied and what we have already distributed to? And which is something that, as a member of the NLB, one will make sure that there is a strong and a very credible advice to the minister to make sure that the NLB functions as it's supposed to, and the DAs must also function as they're supposed to. So I think as the interview goes on, I'll be able to make my own recommendations, the manner in which I see the NLB actively manage the fund that has been entrusted to it.
Thank you. We had Honourable Khadebe Justine. Just for the benefit of anyone who may be listening, even ourselves, when we first started the interviewing process, we wanted, well, weren't too sure who the DAs were, especially as this is Parliament. And we tend to think of the DA as a political party, but of course it's the distributing agencies. I mean, we all know that now, the second day round. Honourable Khadebe.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. Professor, good morning. All right, as you know, Professor, that anything which is man-made is deficient. Some of the laws which we make, when they're supposed to be implemented, there are problems. Né? And then one of the functions of the board is to advise the minister on the efficacy of the current legislation. In your own opinion, are there some challenges in the implementation of this legislation? And number two, are there any areas or issues that you maintain that should be brought to the immediate attention of the minister?
A big yes on the matter that you have raised. Let me start by challenges the current lottery board faces. Number one, the current NLB faces a challenge of not able to distribute the money. They have the money, they have the fund, but somebody is administering the fund on his behalf. And that somebody is not accountable to anybody. That somebody is the distributing agency, the charity, the arts, national heritage, and tourism, the sport and recreation. They are appointed in terms of the act and the regulations that have been promulgated by this parliament. But the problem is they don't account to anybody. Well, previously, the first minister, or shall I say, maybe the second, Alec Ewing, he tried by all means to meet them almost every month in order to understand how they function and in order to bridge the gap between distributing agencies and the lotteries, the National Lotteries Board. But of course, the biggest problem, as I said, they don't account to anybody. They are not even subscribed to Public Finance Management Act. They can't appear, they do not come and appear before the Portfolio Committee. But the NLB is the one that comes and appear before you. And my worry, honorable member, is how can you come and appear and give an account of something that you never distributed? And as such, my first recommendation to the minister and to this August House is to separate the functions. The function of a distributing agency and the function of the National Lotteries Board. So that perhaps, if it is agreed, the National Lotteries Board should concentrate on regulatory function. And then the distributing agency came together with CEO, that is Central Administration Office, can hold the trust in the account so that they can distribute and also be accountable and also so that they can also come and account to Parliament and be governed by the PFMA and also be governed by corporate governance, because as it is now, we are just professionals. I'm just a professor who has been appointed because I've been a musician, I know arts and culture, and I come and sit there and adjudicate. At the end of the day, I go home, there's nobody who says, please come and account. So I think the first thing that we need to do is to separate the functions of the NLB and the functions of the distributing agency. Those are some of the things that perhaps one can push the speedy amendment of the Act. If you can amend the Act, I must tell you, honorable members, we will come in here even next year to lament that people are not getting money. Because let me tell you an example in closing. When the distributing agency allocates, if there is a sour relationship between the distributing agency and the National Lotteries Board, the problem is the National Lotteries Board will not press the button, because as it is now, you adjudicate, you don't press the button. Somebody does not adjudicate, but he presses the button. So that is a type of war. Who wants to be seen as an agent of change?
Honorable Njikalana.
Nda, Babusat.
Nda, Rangun.
Just share with the committee, how do you address the issue of delays in distributing funding, something that has been experienced, you know, in the whole exercise of distribution of the finance or allocations by the fund. Linked to that, what remedial actions do you think should be put into place about these sour relations between the board and the distribution agents? As we have already said, you know, let's just say it. Surely by now we may have some idea of what can be done as a remedial action. All of this is being said because of something which you probably would be sharing with us, that some of the NGOs are very, very much dependent on the promised funding from the lottery. Now, often this is not provided within requisite time, and there it is, the NGOs on the ground are limping and desperate to get this funding. If you could just help us on that. Thanks.
Thanks, Honorable Member. The delays, I've tried to allude to this one. Well, it is common cause that, number one, Central Application Office does not have the capacity. It does not have the capacity needed to carry the work that is entrusted to the organization. Organizations apply. Reasons which might be known to them, it may take 3 months before capturing takes place. And imagine, as you said, some organizations they have to stage either a festival in 5 months to come or in 12 months to come. So at least they must know there will be 3 months that the application is not yet even in the system. And that is one of the mistakes which is owned by the NLB, NLDTF, not to use the IT governance structure as proposed by King 3 report. And then the application will go to the distributing agency. The distributing agency will adjudicate on the application. From there, as I said, there is a tug of war. It depends how much the distributing agency is allocated. If it is more than $1 million, the central application office, together with the NLB, remember I'm talking of three structures here, they want to send somebody to go and do a site visit. That site visit, just to go to Eastern Cape, it may take that person 3 months to go and look at where the project is going to be implemented. Now, if you want to solve that problem, I think let us make sure that we capacitate the Central Application Office by employing professionals who know the work, and also to move away from paper trail, which is only done in hands, and make sure that it becomes, we are living in a technological world. There's nothing wrong for an organization to make an application online, as long as that organization has provided all the documents. It is just a 2 minutes or 5 minutes application already to be in the notary's board. The other thing, as I said, the problem of, you know, the relationship between NLB and distributing agents. one would suggest is that maybe the chairperson of the Cultural Committee, the minister, because as I'm talking now, there's never been any intervention except immediately after Davis was appointed. That's when we saw change. The board and the DA could meet and talk. What I can suggest is that because the board was insisting to come up with an oversight committee, which in terms of the legislation is irregular. It is not covered by the Act. You can't do something which is outside the Act. What one might suggest is that if you are a chairperson of the board, the NLB, and as a chairperson of the distributing agency, there's nothing wrong to call a meeting of chairpersons of the DAs together with the chairperson of NLB to sort out some of the delaying, the you know, delays that are happening in the payment of monies to organizations. Because, as you said, many organizations depend on the NLDTF funding because they don't have any other source of the money. So I think what we need to do, if I'm appointed as a member of the NLB, I'll make sure that you minimize tension. And the only way to minimize tension is to call a spade, rather than to duck and dive, because that is what is happening. The DA will write a letter to the chairperson says, I don't have time to attend to this. So I think we must work in a very receptive atmosphere, because we are there in order to service the public.
Thank you, Honourable Labenia, and then followed by Honourable Line.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. Good morning, sir. Could you briefly explain to us what would you identify as the 5-year strategic objectives or priorities for the board, and what system and processes would you implement to monitor and evaluate the progress made in achieving these strategic objectives?
Thank you very much, Honourable Member. I will regard the strategic imperatives for the NLB as follows. One, to make sure that the minister, when he appoints the DAs or NLB members, let's scrutinize, because what is taking place, there are people who are running organizations within the DA, and as such, they haven't declared their interest. One of the things that we need to do is to make sure that we intensify the campaign. If I tell you that what the NLB and the NLDTF is doing is not known by the public. Not everybody does have a TV at home. What about the most rural areas? So we need to intensify the campaign about what the NLDTF is offering. And then what one needs to do is to make sure that the NLDTF must make sure that provincial and local governments are brought on board in terms of shaping the understanding and shaping the manner in which people participate in the NLD and NLDTF activities. The other thing is to make sure that the NLB appoints a very credible inspectorate validity of the licenses that up to so far have been offered or have been adjudicated by the NLB. And also from time to time to make sure that the minister is aware of the challenges facing the distribution of funding to the public. One of the things that one would want to see as a member of the NLB is what we call integrated corporate governance, wherein the two or three entities within the ambit of the National Lottery Board sit down and come up with tangible objectives and outcomes, how they are going to work together. I'm referring to the Central Application Office, the NLB, the NLDTF, and the distributing agencies. If one can do this, hopefully there will be progress. And from time to time, as I said, one would also make sure that the current act is subject, has to be subjected for amendment together with its regulations in order to make sure that the functions of the entities that are charged with the responsibility of distributing funds are clearly defined, and we can make sure that monitoring mechanisms are in place. And of course, lastly, to intensify the financial controls within that particular organization. Because as it is, as I said earlier on, it is difficult to audit the NLB and leaving out somebody with tampering with monies all the time. So we need to intensify financial controls within the NLB itself and also within the distributing agencies.
Thank you very much. Honourable Line.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. Professor, in your own understanding, what would you say is the different roles between the Chief Executive Officer and the Board? What is the relationship between the Board, the Minister, and this Parliament? Thank you.
Thank you very much. The Chief Executive Officer reports to the Board. That is what PFMA suggests and commands. The Board is appointed by the Minister, and the chairperson of the Board is accountable to the Minister. Now, what one would envisage is a cordial relationship between the chairperson of the Board and the Chief Executive Officer. It is very much disturbing if you find that, if you find a situation where the Chief Executive Officer takes the role of being a chairperson of the Board and a Chief Executive Officer. To an extent, the manner in which decisions are arrived at, decisions that impact on the DAs and the CEOs, are such that they are not based on legislation. They are based on only administrative issues. So I would recommend that the roles are not the same. The Chief Executive Officer is an accounting officer. He or she must account for the monies that have been spent, and to whom? To the board, to the chairperson of the board and members of the board. And as it goes on, the board accounts to Parliament together with the chief executive officer. The relationship between the two structures, the board and the distributing agency, as I've already alluded to, there's nothing in the Act that suggests how the two should, you know, interact and how the two should relate to each other, except by way of distributing agencies writing reports to the board. But what one would recommend is to make sure that, you know, the relationship, as I said, has to be based on the two roles that I've alluded to earlier on. The one is for regulatory, and the other one is for administration.
Thank you very much. Honorable Khadebe.
Thank you, Chairperson. As the professor has already indicated, the five-year strategic objectives plus the work of the chief executive officer. So, Prof, how are you going to ensure that that realistic targets are set for the CEO, and how his or her performance is going to be measured?
Thank you very much. I think the performance of the CEO, firstly, he or she has to sign a performance agreement in which the program that we read up to now, it is alleged, I'm not quite sure, whether a performance agreement has been signed together with the previous minister. I think the chief executive officer has to lay down what he or she wants to achieve, and this must be approved by the board in relation to what legislation intends to do. And the most important thing is to make sure that this revision of the fund goes to the needy people. And he or she must make sure that these are achieved. Of course, the board must make, must have a mechanism of making sure that from time to time, and I do understand that the current structure of the board has got an executive chairperson, wherein the chairperson is always in the office. So if the current appointment of this new board, or if the appointment of this new board will be in the same manner, therefore it means that from time to time there will be monthly assessment by the board, there has to be quarterly assessment by the board, and what are we going to assess? We are going to assess, one, the approach, the integrated approach taken by the CEO in terms of managing that particular organization, and also the financial controls which are put in place, the internal audit, the external audit, so that at least the board has a picture of what the organization is heading to, and at the end of the year, how can we hold the CEO accountable of challenges and even irregularities that happen in the work of the CEO.
Just looking around, Honorable Line, Honorable Nabenia, Chikalana.
Thank you, Honorable Jefferson. Professor, what high-level responsibilities are you currently involved in? For example, board members or senior level of management? Thank you.
Thank you very much. I'm the chair of CHESS, of Operating Licensing Boards in South Africa. I'm the executive director of Call of Africa. I'm the chairperson of the audit committee of Limpopo Tourism and Parks. I'm also an independent audit member of Alliance Mining Corporation, just to mention few things. Of course, I'm a member of the distributing agency of arts, culture, national heritage, and ecotourism.
Honorable Labenia.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Prof, what suggestions would you bring to ensure that CBOs and NGOs that are deserving are able to access funds if they lack the capacity to properly apply for funding?
Well, first of all, we must launch a campaign to make sure that people are educated. I'm not telling you that some of the people cannot even fill in the application form. So we need to capacitate and even appoint a service provider to move from province to province, municipality to municipality, to make sure that people understand how to apply, how to craft a business plan. And once we do that, I think your organizations, CBOs and whatever, they'll be able to access these grants from the NIDTF if we educate them and we capacitate their committees. And I think one of the things that we need to put in place is that every application should include training, should have a line item that says we need so much for training, because you give an organization $2 million this year, when they come again, you find a lot of mistakes. You know, accounting, very, very erratic. The board structure is not even composed in the manner that it can run that organization. So we have, you know, a work to do to make sure that they are up to standard in terms of knowing what exactly, how to use the lot of funding, and how can they come back again and say we want to apply again.
Thank you. Was it Honorable Njikalana, please?
Bamfanda. Let's look at the impact of the funds now that they've been dispersed to various NGOs. Just share with us what strategies do you think the board should implement in assessing the impact now that in a situation that funds have been disbursed, people are using them, and that how do we assess the impact thereof? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Member. I think what the board needs to do, as I said, one, we need the board needs to have its own inspectors that can move from place to place where projects are being implemented. And then we can also call upon organizations that have received funding to write reports on how they've used those funds. We can also make sure that whatever organizations have been given is acknowledged. If you acknowledge what you've been given by, you know, a signage of lotto signage or whatever, NIDTF and the like, at least parliamentarians, local government councillors, when they move from place to place, they will see that this is the project that has been implemented by NIDTF. The other thing is the board needs to take stock of all organizations that have been given this money and check whether this money has been used effectively and efficiently. How many people benefited from those monies? How many jobs have been created? And what kind of poverty alleviation has been made? Because, honorable member, if we don't do that, we are running a risk of enriching few individuals. Imagine a person who can, an organization that can apply for 30 million just to run a festival. That after a two-day festival, you go and ask a man on the street, what impact did you see? That person will just say, I just listened to you, Masikela. It ends up there. So I think the world must come up with mechanisms to say, this is what we can check, that this is what we can say we have impacted the lives of the people. And maybe in conclusion, one would say, seemingly, the board needs to strategize to an extent wherein all applications should show good cause why we need that money, why they need that money, how many people will be impacted. I think if we have got that data, we may be able to come to the legislators to say, for this year, MODTF fund impacted 4 million people because of project so and so and so. So I think that those are some of the things that one would want to see happening in the MLB.
Thank you very much. Is there anyone else who would like to pose a broader question at all? If not, I listened with interest to what you were saying and so on. You spoke more on the relationship of the NLB and the DAs. As you say, you yourself currently are part of a DA, I think the cultural one or whatever. Now, you did indicate here and there different that it was important to reduce such tensions, to strengthen the relationship, develop a more cooperative. But I was wondering if you could share with the members of the Portfolio Committee what concrete measures could you or would you consider putting in place to ensure that, apart from, as you've indicated, the amendment to legislation, to ensure that this relationship work to the benefit of the beneficiaries?
Thank you very much, Chair. Yes, as you said, I indicated the kind of relationship that exists, which is not good for the beneficiaries. I think what we need to do is to make sure that there are monthly meetings between the chairperson of the board and the chairpersons of the DAs. I know it is not legislated, but I think one can use a clause that empowers the board to use its discretion, because the board is entrusted with that fund. Therefore, for the board to can get information from the DAs is to sit down and and discuss issues that are challenging to all the DAs. If it is us DA, I think if I'm a chairperson of the board, I will ask the chairperson, how do you deal with such a diverse and complex sector wherein you have to cater for, you know, music, you have to cater for art, you have to cater for, you know, film. How do you balance? Can you give us the statistics of those who are coming from music, those who are coming from art, those who are coming from ecotourism and the like, and what is the percentage of allocation of funding to these organizations? And I think in that meeting, people will start to open up and say, we are one body, irrespective of whether that one has been appointed and that other one is accountable to Parliament, but we are one body. I think that, for me, that is the basic, to build a cordial relationship and also to make sure that we encourage, you know, encourage reporting mechanisms, either verbal reporting or written reports, almost every month or in all the meetings that we have. I think that in itself will minimize the tension. I know people are people. You may want them to be friends. They may not be friends, but of course, Chairperson, I cannot. I'm tempted to mention that maybe, as I said, when you appoint the DAs, which I believe the NLD must be involved in advising the minister, make sure that people who are running organizations are not part of the DAs, because it influences the decisions of the DAs in terms of funding. If I'm running, you know, an orchestra, and I'm the CEO of an orchestra, honestly, because I relate to that honorable member, it's like a professor who sets the examination and also sits in the examination room with somebody who has never seen the paper. It's irregular. So I think some of these issues, when you meet the NLB, they raise these things. So they, how on earth can you set a paper and you also write? Because applying for this funding is so difficult for a rural person. What about somebody who sits in the DA? And the act is silent. You can participate. The only thing is that is for you to recuse yourself. You declare that I'm having an interest. That's what the act says. Honestly, is irregular. I think if you want to be honest, for this money to go to the poorest of the poor, let's make sure that we don't encourage, you know, doing business inside the business.
Thank you very much, Professor Neville Tanda, and thank you for your time again. We do appreciate that, and for you sharing your experiences with us during this interview. Mr. Herman's on my right will continue to keep you informed of the process and our deliberations in this regard. Thank you once again from the committee.
Thank you very much for all the interrogations. I think they shape one's mind.
I do hope it wasn't an interrogation, but rather a sharing. Thank you very much. It's fine. Thank you. You may leave. Just as Professor leaves and taking stock of some of the decisions we took at the beginning, as some of you may have realized, it's not only parliamentarians who may experience certain problems with delays from the airport, but also others. Now, the Nigerian Binational Commission is arriving, as it were, an hour later than scheduled, only at 10:30, which, as far as the Committee of Trade and Industry are concerned, that's also quite constructive for us in terms of our work program. Right, the man you've been dealing with a great deal, Mr. Hermans, Andre, is the committee secretary. That's why he's doing all the work, and he will continue to keep in touch with you. On my left, you may have met Margot Hurling, Ms. Hurling. She's the content specialist. apart from having so many other duties, of course, as well. And anyone else you may see here besides this front row here where the members of the committee are sitting are observers. And we all know what an observer is, observer status, not allowed to talk, just to listen and see and observe. That's what that means. So we, if you recognize, I noticed the last candidate said, and thanks to DTI, I'm not sure why, because it's Parliament that's running this process, so we want to make that quite clear. It's the Portfolio Committee. Now, members of the committee will pose a couple of questions just to engage with you on the matter, and you will switch your mic on and respond immediately and then switch the mic off. My own advice, as you can see, I'm not hugging this. I know some of these pop singers do. But let's sort of step away from the mic a little bit. I know that's worried some people. And then just talk. We're actually quite a close family here. So perhaps we can begin. On my right, I see the Honourable van der Westhuizen. I see the Honourable Khadebe. I see the Honourable Mabasa. I see the Honourable Lavinia. Right. Thank you.
Good morning, Mr. Nkosi, and welcome from my side. Mr. Nkosi, I'm going to ask you to tell us more about yourself and your past experience and relate your experience to the contribution that you could make to the National Lotteries Board. I would also like you to tell us in wide terms what you believe would be the ideal criteria for a good National Lotteries Board member. And can I just warn you that there is a question coming up later on as to your experience on other boards, other regulatory environments, etc. So if you could concentrate, what is an ideal board member? And secondly, how can you contribute in that regard?
Thank you very much. I'd like to extend my gratitude for being given an opportunity to come and be interviewed after I was nominated by NAFCOC. My name is Vusumuzi Nkosi. I'm coming from Nell Street in Mpumalanga province, practicing as an attorney for the past 15 years in various fields. I think and I believe that during the process of being a legal practitioner, I interacted with various institutions, state institutions, private companies, where I served as board member, and I learned more on corporate governance, which in a nutshell, I feel and believe that I can be an asset, and I will do some positive contributions on corporate governance to be able to serve the board in a proper manner and in a positive manner, and to make sure that compliance is adhered to. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Khadebe.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. Mnumzane Nkosi, you are welcome. All right, the question which I'd like to ask you is that as a person who's aspiring to become a board member, what do you envisage as the main functions of the National Lotteries Board?
Mr. Hadew, Honourable Member, through your chair, on my own legal research that I've done on Lotteries Board, it came to light to me that it's not quite different from other regulatory bodies, but it's more specifically on issues regarding the distribution of the proceeds that are obtained from lotteries that are licensed to operate within the legislative framework of the Lotteries Act. Distribution of funds to different charitable organizations and other organizations that are there registered to be able to distribute funds to different communities or different organizations or juristic persons specifically registered to do distributions and to monitor and to make sure that everything is done according to the law, and to make sure that accountability is a component part of what those who receive funds coming from the board are done in a proper manner, so that the main body which is accountable to Parliament, which is the Lotteries Board Act, the board itself, must be able to account for whatever funds that they receive and how is it used. Is it used in a proper manner or not? And to take proper corrective actions when necessary.
Honourable Mabasa.
Mr. Nkosi, some NGOs and their institutions are dependent on the provision of promised lottery funding to implement certain programs. Often, this funding is not provided within the appropriate time frames to enable these institutions to perform their mandates. How will you address the delays in distributing funding experienced in the distribution of the fund? What remedial actions would you propose to improve the ailing relations between NLB and the distribution agencies?
Thank you, sir. It's all about proper governance of each institution. And I believe and trust that each organization that receives funds for distribution, they have a constitution and they have, I would say, a governing structure which governs them as to how do they run their business on day-to-day daily business requirements and when to request for funding. And if it has delayed, there must be a way on which they request it by approaching the necessary structure, either the minister for an urgent funding. But all that has to be done via proper channels from the distribution agency itself to the lotteries board and up to the highest level, in trying to address the need that they have to attend to on funds that they have to receive.
Honourable Lavenia.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. Mr. Ngosi, one of the functions of the board is to advise the minister on the efficacy of the current legislation. In your opinion, what are some of the challenges in the implementation of the legislation, and are there any areas or issues that you maintain should be brought to the immediate attention of the minister?
In the current present situation with the Act itself, I haven't noticed anything that needs to be amended or maybe to be repealed. But when a situation comes where there's a need to advise the minister, the board as an accounting officer is reporting to the minister on whatever issues that pertains to the running of the board itself as required by the legislation, because whatever the board is doing is guided by the enabling legislation, which gives powers to do what is necessary to address any shortcomings within the Act.
Thank you. Honourable Mpeshlele.
Just in a few words, you don't have to be long-winded. What would you identify as the 5-year strategic objective or priorities for the board? What system or process would you implement to monitor and evaluate the progress made
in achieving these strategic objectives or priorities?
Thank you, sir. One of the issues, if I'm appointed to be part of the board, which I will raise with the board with regard to the five-year plan, is to make sure that monitoring that is existing in the right, at the present moment, shouldn't be reduced from whatever angle that the board is responsible to monitor and to regulate. In addition to, I believe that proper education on corporate governance should be a consistent thing that has to be done to make sure that the staff of the board and everyone involved must be made to understand the environment where they are operating, to make sure that accountability and responsibility is always taken care of, and that the objectives of the board should not be lost sight of by any member of the board or any person that reports to the board, and to have at least every year a strategic planning session on which you monitor the way in which you have to implement everything that has been adopted by the board as a strategic plan for the next financial year, each year successively, and to make sure that public finance management at no one forgets about it, because that is a guide to make sure that public funds are being taken care of and accounted for each and every moment. So whatever strategy and risk management that is being implemented, never forget that everything has to be guided in terms of Public Finance Management Act and Treasury regulations.
Honourable Van der Westhuizen, Honourable Van der Westhuizen.
Thank you, Chair. Mr. Nkosi, how do you understand the difference in the roles of the Chief Executive Officer and that of the Board? And also, how do you see the relationship between the Minister of Trade and Industry, the Board, and Parliament?
Thank you, sir. First of all, I will start almost with the last concept that you mentioned, Parliament. Parliament, I think I'm correct to say, is composed of elected officials with different portfolios and different departments to make sure that public funds are managed in a proper manner. The minister is the political head of a specific portfolio, like Department of Trade and Industry. There's a minister who's the political head there too. And the board, appointed by Parliament on advice of portfolio committee to Parliament or recommendation thereof, the board is the one that is an accounting officer of the institution, and the CEO is an appointee or appointed by the board as an employee who is the chief executive officer, because in most cases the board comprises of non-executive directors unless there's an exception in terms of the act that there should be an executive director, executive manager. The CEO is the one that oversees the running of day-to-day functions of the board and to make sure that he or she reports to the board on a regular basis on pertinent issues with regard to the running of the institution. The overall accountability rests with the board, which reports to Parliament via the minister.
Thank you. Honourable Khadebe, followed by Honourable Mabaso and Honourable Line.
Thank you, Chairperson. As Mr. Nkosi has correctly articulated the five strategic objectives and then also the functions of the Chief Executive Officer, so Mr. Nkosi, how will you ensure that the realistic targets for the CEO are set and that his or her performance is measured accurately?
Thank you, Chairperson. The functions and the working environment of the CEO is supposed to be encapsulated in the employment contract which he entered or he entered into between himself or herself with the board. The board must make sure that there is a performance agreement which has to be evaluated from time to time, depending on the board, if the board has got different committees like HR committee, to make sure that all people who are accountable to the board or relative managers of the board are doing the right way, and risk management, PFMA, and all the necessary legislation are adhered to by these employees of the board. Because at the end of the board members who are non-executive directors, they would have a fiduciary duty to see to it that everything goes according to legislation. Failing which, themselves, they are opening themselves for liability, because in terms of corporate governance, they must know what's happening within the institution. Though they might be serving as non-executive directors, but they must know in one way or another. So it's best to have a performance agreement which is regularly monitored if the CEO is doing his work properly.
Thank you. Honourable Labenia. Was it Honourable Lyon? I'm sorry.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. Mr. Nkosi, what high level of responsibilities are you currently involved in? For example, board membership or senior level of management? Thank you.
At the present moment, I'm serving in one board of directors, which is a private company, as a chairperson of legal committee thereof, and I'm serving in one medical aid as a trustee and chairperson of the legal committee as well. And I'm currently a chairperson of a consumer court in Mpumalanga, which is the highest, which reports direct to the minister, the MEC.
Thank you. Honourable Labenia, followed by Honourable Van der Westhuizen.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. Mr. Ngosi, what suggestions would you bring to ensure that CBOs and NGOs that are deserving are able to access funds if they lack the capacity to properly apply for funding?
Sorry, can you repeat the question? I lost out on the acronym.
I'm saying, what suggestions would you bring to ensure that CBOs, which is community-based organizations, and NGOs, which is non-governmental organizations, that are deserving, are able to access funds if they lack the capacity to properly apply for funding?
It's my general belief that a non-governmental organization which is designed or registered for the purposes of distributing funds to charitable organizations or specific communities that they help, to make sure that they must adhere to their own constitution, to make sure that they have a proper strategic planning, so that they have proper planning to be able to have time frames as to when do we do this? When do we request for funds? When do we do accounting? When do we take our books for auditing? When do we report back to the board? So that there should be a continuous way of doing their work. Should there be a slip out, that's where a problem will be. Because one thing for sure, if the CBO or NGO is not doing its proper functions, doesn't have the proper board to govern itself, there will be some lacking in terms of time frames to make sure that they do applications at the right time to apply for funding, and they find themselves in a worse situation. So education is the best tool. Continuous education is the best tool, and if they need to be helped, it will be proper for them to approach the notary's board for assistance and for advice where they are lacking. So the doors of learning should be opened by the notary's board in terms of the organizations that are accredited by the notary's board itself for the purposes of receiving funds and to administer the funds that they receive, so that there shouldn't be a problem
where you find members of a particular organization starting to think that the funds that they receive is for their own personal distribution, for their own personal use.
Thank you. Honourable Van der Westen.
Thank you, Chair. My question deals with the impact of the funds dispersed. What strategies should the board implement in order to assess the impact of the funds disbursed?
I trust and believe again that the board is a well-structured board. It's not a new board that's going to start now. Already there are structures in place, and the board has got agencies that have been appointed or still to be appointed in some cases. The impact of funds received will have to be monitored, because this is a regulatory function. There are so many regulations attached to the Lotteries Act governing different types of activities within the legislative framework itself. The impact of funds received, the board will have been failing in their duties to make sure that funds received are properly accounted for. Then the impact will be negative. For instance, where it's supposed to go and it ends up being diverted to a place where it's not supposed to be. So oversight by the board is important. It's one issue that has to be taken care of from time to time.
Thank you. Are there any other questions members would like to pose of a broader nature? Honourable M. Pashlele.
Mr. Ngosise, after all these questions, do you have something outside the framework of the questions that you want to share with this committee, something of interest and relevant to what we have been going through?
Thank you, Mr. Pastor, through the chair. My submission to this honorable committee is that I am here at your disposal. Should I be appointed as a member of the board, I would like to be of positive contribution, to contribute positively in the running of the institution, to make sure that it doesn't fail in any moment, to make sure that public funds are being taken care of, and the funds allocated to the board itself have to be taken care of. Being a lawyer myself, I don't want to see myself in a problematic situation because of failing to adhere to some requirements, compliance issues. I'll make sure that as a member, we will comply with each and every requirement that has to be complied with without having to make a fault, though it's human nature to make a fault, but to make sure that highest level of standards are implemented, and to be of assistance to other agencies that are attached to the board in terms of legal advice, and to share the experience that I have, that I've attained or acquired from my other boards that I've served, like in the gaming board and Pumala Gaming Board, National Gaming Board, and other boards in terms of regulations or regulatory matters within the institutional framework.
Thank you very much. I just have one perhaps question, a broader one myself. You have focused a lot on accountability. You've referred to the importance of corporate governance and so on. But perhaps from my side, I would be more interested at this point in, you're aware of the situation, you're familiar with the Act and related legislation, but knowing what the issues are, what remedial actions, apart from simply compliance, would you suggest can be done to improve the situation?
Chairperson. Thank you. Remedial situation is always, or it's always taken when there's something which went wrong, which needs to be corrected. If one identifies a fault or something that is not going according to legislation, remedial steps will be informed by the type of transgression that has taken place. There are different types of remedial steps that can be taken. If it's misconduct on personal nature or misconduct on a person who's employed by the board, there is a type of remedial action that can be taken. If it's legislative remedial action that has to be taken, we properly advise the board in our board meeting so that this has to be tabled or made known to the minister for the purposes of discussing with the committees if there's a need to amend or to repeal a certain piece of legislation which does not fit well in that particular time. So remedial action, it depends on the situation in which we are facing at a particular time.
Thank you. I certainly think that the committee seems to have satisfied themselves that they've asked the questions they wish to. And certainly we would like to thank you at this point for your time. It's a long way to come. And the committee secretary, Mr. Hermans, will continue to keep you informed of the progress and the process and our deliberations and so on. But we really must thank you for making yourself available as a nominee. Thank you very much.
It's my pleasure. Thank you once more for calling me to be here today. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. As the Portfolio Committee of Trade and Industry, for making yourself available as a nominee for the National Lotteries Board. You know, on my right here, we have the secretary to the committee, Mr. Andre Hermans, who's been in touch with you all along. And on my left, the content specialist, Ms. Margot Hurling. And immediately in the front row here on my right, we have some of the committee members. There are so many committees going on at the moment and bilaterals and so on, that obviously we can't always have the full committee team. Anyone else you may see in the room whose face rings a bell is purely here as an observer capacity and nothing else. Now, my name is Joan Phupps, and the way we're going to run this is members of the committee will pose one or two questions. You will respond immediately to each question, switch on the mic, and then switch it off. And I have the same problem. I sometimes get too close to the mic. So if we can, you know, probably move slightly away and talk to the mic. But thank you very much for being with us here. And I'm immediately going to ask committee members they would wish to pose questions. I see the Honourable Van der Westhuizen, the Honourable Mabasa, in that order so far.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, Ms. Steiner. Ms. Steiner, I must just warn from the onset there's going to be a later question on senior management experience on regulatory boards, etc., coming up. But keeping that in mind, briefly tell us about your past experience and relate that to the contribution that you believe you can make to the Lotteries Board. And also, if you could just inform us what you see as the main criteria for a good board member. Thank you.
Thank you. First of all, thank you very much for the opportunity to be here today. Yes, I think as far as experience is concerned, my experience is mainly on audit committees, up to now in the government sector. I have served on various boards in community organizations, Rotary particularly. I'm at present for the third year running the assistant governor. I'm not sure if people are aware of what Rotary is about. I have served on that board since 90, Rotary International, yes. I also have been, I was president of Middleburg Chamber of Commerce in 1999-2000, and for 3 years prior to that I was the second vice and then the vice president. I think during that time I actually learned a lot regarding, you know, public participation and that sort of thing. I also was instrumental in forming BISMIT, which is a the body for the joint chambers of commerce, NAFCOC, Middleburg Chamber of Commerce and Afrikaanse Sakekamer, which is still going today and forms an essential role in the business community in Middleburg. I've served on the Board of Trustees for Medical Expenses Distribution Society when it was still with Southern Life. That, I think, I was on for about 7 years. I think as far as board experience is concerned at the moment, I am chair of the Audit Committee of Mpumalanga Tourism and Parks Agency, and in that capacity, I sit on the board of the agency. I attend all the board meetings, and I think they're a really super compliant board and have very, very strong members, and I think I've learned a lot from them in that respect. As far as my contribution here is concerned, I think I run my life on a very ethical and you know, truth and ethics is very much my forte. And I think with my involvement through Rotary, we do a terrific amount of community work. The motto there is service above self, and I was interested when I saw that the Rotary's board actually has a social responsibility, ensures that funding is given to the various charitable organisations, arts, culture, and all that sort of thing. That is quite dear to me. A good board member, I think, is someone that ensures that all the actions are above reproach, that they act fairly and equitably, and ensure that the mandate of the organizational entity is met. If you would want me to expand any further, I will. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mabasa.
Thank you. Ms. Dana, what do you envisage as the main functions of the National Lotteries Board?
Okay, I have had an opportunity to go through the Act, so not in great depth. I only managed to get through it last night. But yes, I see that it is a responsibility of the Lotteries Board to advise the Minister on the licensee. And then also to advise on the percentages that should be paid to the various organizations that have applied for funding, mainly in RDP projects, arts, culture, heritage, sporting fields, and other charities. And then also to administer the distribution fund, National Lottery, the National Lotteries Distribution Fund or Trust or something like that. It's a bit difficult to remember. There were a whole lot of them. Also to ensure social responsibility program, to advise the minister on any legislative changes that need to be made. Off said. I can't remember all the rest, but I know there were a number.
I think the idea is, sir, that you remember everything, but just to share with us what you know. I think that's what we're really asking. Now, we haven't set them a trick exam. Right. Over to Honourable Labenya.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. Good morning, Ms. Dina. I hope I pronounced the name well. You've made mention that one of the functions of the board is to advise the minister on the efficacy of the current legislation. In your opinion, what are some of the challenges in the implementation of the current legislation? And are there any areas or issues that you feel should be brought to the immediate attention of the minister?
That's a tough one. As we said, it's not a matric exam. You know, in all of the committees that I sit on, I think everyone is new. And I think once you're elected to that, you make it your duty to really study it in depth and understand the institution. I've been through the Act. I haven't seen anything that I would think wasn't in line. I think maybe social responsibility, as far as lottery is concerned, might be a bit of a problem. I have seen, and it's quite sad, where there are outlets, restaurants, or tea rooms, or whatever, that are quite close by to, for instance, pension pay points. And I have seen that, you know, people virtually, or the family members that are there with the elderly, go straight towards the tea room or whatever's in the area, and that could be maybe something that needs to be looked at, you know, the locality of pay points and things like that. I'm not sure, but that in the past has been a concern to me.
Yes, Honourable Mabasa?
A follow-up, Ms. Dina, I couldn't understand the last point that you made because I don't want to misunderstand you. When you talked about the tea room, you know, that can you just repeat that better?
Yes. You sometimes find that pension pay points, for instance, I'm using pensioners now as an example, are in the proximity to a lottery, I don't know what you call them, distributor. And you know, sometimes that, I know from National Gambling Board perspective, there's quite strict rules about, you know, regulating the industry. And I think maybe in the lottery side, there might be, you maybe need to put in some interventions in that respect. But as I say, I don't know the industry that well. And, you know, maybe I'm talking not from a position of strength here.
Right. Thank you very much. Just relax. Right. Honourable Mkeshlele, did I see another hand? Honourable Khadebe, Honourable Nine, and Honourable Van der Westhuizen. Now, I'm just saying these so that I make a list of them. So we're going to be starting now.
Good morning, Ms. Dan. As a Rotarian, I think you'll agree that NGOs are gasping for funds. And actually, they are dependent on the provision of promised lottery funding to implement certain programs. Unfortunately, there are many delays, a lot of red tape. Now, how would you address the delays in distributing funds, and what remedial actions would you propose to improve the ailing relations between the the National Lottery Board and the distributing agencies?
I'm not sure where the problem lies. Is it with the distributing agencies or is it with the board? Is it with both? Well, then I would assume that communication is very important. I do know in Middelburg of some agencies that have received funding from the lottery, and I know of some that are similar that haven't received. And I think to a large extent it's because the paperwork and so on isn't correct from the source. I'm taking two old age homes into account here, where one has been very successful with lottery applications and one hasn't. And I think it comes down to the management actually getting their paperwork correct. So I think a lot of times the issue seems to be, the blame seems to be put on the agencies, where maybe it already starts at the application area. Maybe some education needs to be done, and that might be an intervention.
We're moving on. Honourable Line, Honourable Hadebe.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. Ms. Dreiner.
D-E-I-N-E-R, Dreiner. But it doesn't matter.
Okay, thank you. One of the functions of the board is to advise the minister.
Is it, was it Miss Honourable Hadebe, is it? No, it is Honourable Line. I think there's just too many bits of communication, probably. No, go straight ahead, Honourable Line. Do go straight ahead. I think it's, we know what we wish to ask. Go straight ahead.
Thank you. Sorry for that. Briefly, what would you identify as the 5-year strategic objective or priorities for the board? And what systems or processes would you implement to monitor and evaluate the progress made in achieving these strategic objectives or priorities? Thank you.
Well, not serious. I haven't looked at the annual report since I haven't had the time to do that. So, but I would imagine it would be the distribution of funds equitably to improve the lives of the community. So it would be something along those lines. But I couldn't answer you in depth on that. I'm sorry.
Just a follow-up,
Secretary. Go ahead.
Ms. Dreiner, previously you have mentioned the challenges that some NGOs are facing to receive monies from the lottery board. So if we can appoint you as one of the board members, what would you think is one of the things that the board must put in place to ensure that those people are getting their monies and it is part of the plan of the board? Thank you.
Well, I think, as I said, first of all, I think education is very important. So there should maybe be some form of communication that goes out, to educate the charitable organizations or communities requiring the funds on how to go about it. That I would, maybe appoint an education unit thing. I'm not sure about what is in here. I would actually have to think, more strategically on it. I wouldn't be able to tell you right now. Sorry.
Right, Honourable Khadebe, followed by Honourable Van der Westhuizen.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. Ms. Dreiner, the question I'd like to ask her is that So, how to understand the difference between the CEO, the chief executive officer, and the board? And then what is the relationship between the board, the minister, and parliament, in your own understanding?
Okay. The minister is the executive authority who's responsible to parliament. The board is your accounting authority, and they're there to give strategic leadership, and they're responsible for the assets and for the income, the revenue and the expenditure, and so on. They have the ultimate responsibility of the entity. The chief executive officer is responsible to the board to carry out any duties that have, well, basically the organizational functions and any duties that have been delegated to him by the board. He is effectively the accounting officer.
Parliament?
Okay, Parliament is there to ensure that the mandate. No, I'm sorry, I can't answer that question adequately.
You should relax because you know you're doing a lot better than I would in a matric exam. So just relax, okay? So shall we start again?
Thank you for that. So yeah. Well, Parliament is responsible to the people, and basically they, you know, they need to ensure that the funds that are or the mandate that is given to the department is carried out, and that it is that all the funds are used effectively for the good of the people.
Thank you. Honourable Member Westhuizen.
Thank you. The next question doesn't necessarily have to be answered in terms of the Lottery Trust Fund, but in general, what do you believe is necessary to ensure that realistic targets for an CEO is set, and how would you then ensure that his or her performance is measured accurately?
Well, I think, you know, the board needs to set the strategy, and once the strategy has been set by the board, obviously certain responsibilities, well, all the responsibilities remain the board's, but at the end of the day, they may delegate authority to the CEO, and the CEO would have a performance contract which sets out all these key performance indicators, and based on that, he'll be assessed. Does that answer your question?
Thank you. Now, the second part, you say he or she will be assessed in terms of that performance contract. The question is, how can you as a board ensure that what is assessed is accurate, that measurements reflect accuracy or accurate measurements?
Well, I would think that surely on your, you know, your monitoring and your reporting and so on, based on that, the deliverables that are set there, you would then measure against those on the achievements of the annual performance program.
Thank you. Honourable Mpashlele, Honourable Mabasa.
Thanks, Honourable Chair. Ms. Dana, you are a bond leader. May you please enumerate to the committee the responsibilities you hold in different organizations currently?
I think the most salient one at the moment is chair of the Mpumalanga Tourism and Parks Agency Audit Committee. We're going into our fourth year of existence. As you know, tourism and conservation were merged in 2006. It was a huge challenge. The first year we in fact had a disclaimer from the Auditor General, mainly due to staff not being placed correctly and so on. And also merging the two institutions was very problematic. I don't think there was sufficient I don't think they applied their minds to it when they drew up the act. And I think, well, from year two, we had a fantastic team. I was very instrumental with that team. And by the second year, we were only qualified on opening balances, which was a huge achievement because we really had to start from scratch. And this last year, we got an unqualified report. And as I said, I had a fantastic team. I headed it up most of the time. As the audit committee, you don't want to get involved in operational matters, but it just had to be like that. And then at the moment, I'm on the legislature audit committee. I've been right from the outset, 2002, I think. We've just gone through the delinking of the legislature from the Treasury, and it has had its moments, but I think we've been very successful. We were here, we met with your internal audit committee I think about 2 months ago, and to benchmark, and I think we're doing pretty well. And then with with Mpumalanga Gambling Board, I'm on that audit committee. It's an institution that is so highly regulated that there are very few problems. So I won't say there are any sort of major achievements there. Yeah.
Thank you. Honourable Mabasa.
Ms. Dana, what suggestions will you bring to ensure that CBOs and NGOs that are deserving are able to access funds if they lack the capacity to properly apply for funding?
Do you mean if they lack the capacity financially on the administrative basis or...?
Honourable Mabasa?
Yeah, if they lack skills, yes, amongst others.
Okay. You're saying what I would recommend to put into place?
And then let me repeat it properly. What suggestions will you bring to ensure that CBOs and NGOs that are deserving are able to access funds if they lack capacity to properly apply for funding?
I just want to make it clear with your indulgence, Honorable Chair. We know that South Africa is highly illiterate country. Here are poor people in rural Mpumalanga. They are struggling, but they can hardly fill the form. They are deserving to get funds from the board, but they don't have the capacity to apply.
Well, I'm not sure if there are any rules and things like that, but what I would do is they are... NGOs in their areas that do have the capacity, and as their social responsibility, your old age homes, for instance, they've also got a social responsibility that they may be encouraged to have a program where they can assist these other NGOs.
Honourable members, any further questions? Honourable Line.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. Ms. Reiner, what strategies should the board implement in order to assess the impact of the funds disbursed? For instance, when funds are allocated to an NGO or an CBO, what measures would you put in place to assess the impact that fund has made? Thank you.
I would say that you feedback from the community would be important, and you'd need to put something in place that you could get feedback from the people that are benefiting from that. But I think also reports from the NGOs, financial statements that adequately report what they've done with the funding and so on. Possibly you need to have some form of inspectorate or something that goes out and actually interacts with the communities, the beneficiaries of those funds, to be able to see from there. I wouldn't know what else. I mean, not knowing the industry well enough, and I think once you understand the industry properly, I think you would be able to put in better strategies or plans.
Thank you. Honourable Van der Westhuizen.
Just for clarity in my own mind, you are stated here in our documentation as a professional accountant with your own accounting firm, but you would not fall within the definition of a chartered accountant. Am I correct?
I fall under SAIPA, which is South African Institute of Professional Accountants. We're authorized to audit class corporations, that sort of body, but we don't audit on public and private companies and so on.
Thank you very much. We have listened with interest to what you have shared with us, just so that perhaps we complete our understanding of what you have to offer and so on. Perhaps you could share with us a little bit more, expand upon this concept. You raised it right at the beginning, and quite clearly you have a passion for the Mpumalanga Trust and so on, pensioners and this sort of thing. And at one point you made a reference to paperwork, as it were, and then you, further down, you also referred to possibly not leave it to the DAs, but as you put it, we need, it needs to start with the applications. Now, if you could just expand, because you yourself noted paperwork is quite a challenge to access.
Yes, as I mentioned, I do know of, I'm talking now in homes for the aged in our area, where the management of the one is very hands-on and very capable, and they have accessed funds from the lottery. There's another organization in Klaus Baumiddelburg, falls under our jurisdiction, who just haven't managed to access funds. And, they're always, hands, come, you always see the, I always say you see their hands first. They're always begging, but when you ask them why they don't try and access lottery funds and so on, they will say, but we don't get anything. We've tried, we don't get anything. And I've spoken to the manager of the other home for the aged, and she said to me, it's because they don't complete their paperwork. Now, I think the same can apply to maybe people who are unskilled. There are lots of little organizations around, particularly in the townships, with that give home-based aid and so on. The people are very passionate about their calling. They do a terrific amount for the children and so on, but they also cannot access funds. And I think that those organizations are where you actually need to be able to establish some form of assistance or education. Sometimes it's not the lack of skills, it's just not understanding what needs to be done. And I think that, you know, that maybe your DAs, who are probably more, back closer to the rock face than what the board is, maybe can identify those and maybe set up some form of assistance, education programs. I've never looked at the forms, so I don't actually know, you know, at what level they pitched. But maybe have some kind of instruction booklet that goes on with it to explain why it is you need to do X, Y, and Z. I often find that that's also, it's like completing a tax return. People don't always understand what is wanted because the person designing the form thinks at a different level to what the man in the street does.
Thank you very much, Ms. Dinah, for making yourself available as a nominee, but also for your time you've spent coming down from Mpumalanga to share with us these experiences. And from our side, Andre Hermans, Mr. Hermans, will continue to keep in touch with you so that you are aware of the process and progress in our deliberations. But thank you once again for coming here to the committee.
And from our side, thank you very much once again too. It's been a great experience, and I do hope that I'll see more of any of all of you in the future. Thank you.
And we really want to thank you for making yourself available as a nominee for the NLB, but also we'd like to thank you for coming down here and your time that you are giving us. On my right is the committee secretary, Mr. Andre Hermans, who's also, of course, the man who's been keeping in touch with you and will continue to do so. And on my left is the content specialist, Ms. Hurling. And on my immediate right over here, we see some of the members of your committee. Of course, the full list is to your left there, a sheet of paper. And other members of the committee are unfortunately engaged in bilateral meetings with other countries here in Parliament, but also other committee meetings. We would all have liked to have been here, but from time to time we have to attend to other business as well. So if we can immediately perhaps engage, the system will work in this way, that members will pose questions, and after each question you have the opportunity to respond immediately at your own pace, and switch on the mic, switch off the mic, and I'm sure you'll realize that we don't need to be too close to the mic. All right, so perhaps we can begin immediately. The Honorable Mpashlele, who else do we have here? The Honourable Lyon, the Honourable Khadebe, the Honourable Van der Westhuizen. Thank you.
Good morning, Mr. Lionel Brenner. Your name rhymes with a lion, and your hair too, or whatever is left of it, resembles the mane. Well, this committee is very much interested to know about your past experience and how that experience relates to the contribution you would make to the board. Secondly, what in your opinion would be the main criteria for a board member? When you talk about an ideal board member, what do you think that person should possess? Thank you.
Well, thank you very much. I think that in terms of the contribution and I presume that from my CV, I've had active interest in organizations such as community-based organizations, NGOs. I've done some work for the for trade unions, and in my experience, a lot of those types of organizations are very dependent upon the funding structures. None of them are sustainable in and of themselves, and I think that it's very important in the context of South Africa at the moment that funding of these organizations and the sustainability of these organizations is kept intact and remains. And I think that from a contribution perspective, I bring to the I hope that I'm able to bring to the table my past experiences in respect of organizational requirements, together with the objectives of as I understand it, the National Lotteries Board and its distributing agencies. I think that I have a wide amount of experience in respect of the commercial sector, and have had and have occupied key management roles, specifically within the finance arena. And I think that that will allow me to add value to processes which would in my mind be important in respect of this organization. I think that and I hope that that would answer your question, or if you'd like, I can expand some more on those points. I think from a moving to your second issue, which is the criteria for a board member, I know that there's a regulatory requirement in respect of the corporate governance standards, King 3, King 2, etc. There's a prescriptive standard in respect of in respect of company law. From my perspective, I expect of a board member somebody who has integrity, who acts independently, is able to possess a certain amount of leadership quality, which can lead the organization through the good times and the bad times. I expect all my fellow board members to be accountable, as I would be accountable in terms of the right to the level of their daily behavior, all the way through to the governance standards. So I think that the criteria for board members is a very, very I think it's a very high bar. In respect of the company law and certainly King 3, and therefore I think that you need to be able to perform against those measures.
Right, Honourable Line.
Thank you, Honourable Jefferson. Mr. Brenner, you have clearly outlined the criteria of a board member. Now, what do you envisage would be the function of this National Lottery Board? Thank you.
First and foremost, as I understand it, the National Lotteries Board has been established under the National Lotteries Act, and the functions of the board are outlined within that act. In respect of my understanding, and I stand corrected, but that would include the management of the trust fund, National Lotteries Trust Fund distribution. It would include advising the minister on various issues of legislation. It also includes a certain amount, and if you can excuse my terminology, the policing of lotteries which occur within South Africa, which fall outside of the ambit of the national lottery or lotter as such. I think it is a very broad requirement. I see perhaps the NLB as a regulator. As such, I think that the functions are, are quite broad.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. Mr. Brenner, you correctly said that one of the functions of the board is to advise the minister. So, the question I'm going to ask is that in the current legislation, how best should the legislation be adapted to fit the needs of the ministry? And in your opinion, what are the challenges which are there now in the implementation of this legislation?
Thank you. I think it's a very difficult question, but I'll attempt to to answer it as best as I can. The insight which certainly I pick up in terms of advisory, and I'm going to specifically start with the national lotteries, so the lotter. I think that there appears to be an issue in respect of the distribution of funding, and the reporting of the distribution of funding. I think that's a key. For me, that's a key area of this organisation. I think that when I peruse the annual report and I see that the Auditor General really qualifies the performance information, I think that is not a good thing from the perspective of this organisation. I think that. And I'm not certain what the regulatory requirements would be in order to improve that reporting framework. If there would be any requirements thereof, I would think that one of the key issues, and I do approach it from an audit perspective, not from a legal perspective, is that I see that one of the AG's reports is that. There is no audit. There is no inspection at the distribution agency level of specific distributions made. And please correct me if I'm mistaken. I'm taking it at face value. I think that's a big issue. And I think that's an issue which would need to be resolved. I'm not certain whether, as I say, I'm not a lawyer, I'm not certain whether the legislative framework is something which needs to be adapted in order to give powers to be able to do that type of that type of work. But I would see that as being key. I think that there must be a debate. I would assume there's a debate in respect of does National Lotteries Board have a separate function, i.e., do you have a segregation of duty between the regulator and a certain amount of the implementation of those regulations? That would be a fundamental principle, I think, which would always need to be reviewed, as I would see it. Those were two issues which I saw as I say, I don't have huge insight into the organisation, not having been involved in the management issues. I think the other challenges that I would have seen is And I'm not certain how the, you know, how the committee, you know, views this, but I see that the costs of distribution are abnormally low, being 4% as per the annual financial statements of funds received. I'm not certain what the view is, but to my mind, if I can use an example, it may be like an aeroplane company which doesn't maintain its vehicles. It's aircraft. I think that sometimes you need to spend a bit more to ensure that that you have the capacity in order to deliver appropriately. I think that this kind of organization, another issue would be the issue of the surplus, which is reflected in the financials. I'm not certain why National Lotteries wants to keep a surplus in its distribution account. So I think that in the present times where we're trying to alleviate issues of poverty and such like, I think that it's very important that these funds get out and get distributed.
Thank you. My question ties in very nicely with your last remark. Why should there be a surplus in the account and while we're trying to alleviate poverty? One of the criticisms that we've seen is the long delays often in the times between the application for funding and when people receive that funding. Now, some of these NGOs and other institutions are quite dependent on lottery and other forms of funding of that form. And quite often it doesn't arrive within appropriate time frames. How would you address the delays in the distribution of the funding? And what remedial actions would you propose to improve the ailing relations between the lottery board and the distribution agencies who are receiving the applications and also adjudicate on those applications?
If I can answer the second point first, I'm not certain how the relationships between the DAs and the board are. So I have no idea what issues which sit within them are. But I do see them as potentially adversarial. I could understand that they could be conflictual by the very system under which they work, which is not necessarily a bad a bad issue. I'm a firm advocate of ensuring that there's standards, that the minimum standards which are required in respect of process. I think it's key that when I speak about in terms of the standards is that there's the internal controls there's an internal control system which exists and it's effective. In order for it to be effective, people need to understand that people who are implementing these controls have to have a full understanding of what the obligations and responsibilities that they fulfill under that system needs to be. I think that the communication protocol within the organizations needs to be very structured. So people need to understand what's expected of them. In previous examples, one of the key things that we always needed to address specifically within the parameters of instituting a system of controls and management systems is if you like the change management side of it to ensure people are empowered to be able to to do the work properly.
Thank you. Honourable Mbasa.
Thank you, Comrade Chairperson. To Mr. Brenner, briefly, what will you identify as the 5-year strategic objectives or priorities for the board, what system or process will you implement to monitor and evaluate the progress made in achieving these strategic objectives or priorities?
I think that that's a very good question. I think that from a 5-year objective or 5-year strategy, I think that organizations need to identify what their long-term plans are and what resources they require in order to attain those plans. The process whereby we can identify what a long-term strategy needs to be would encompass all stakeholders, all required stakeholders, and that's and I think that that's very important. So I think that's what I would understand from your question is that we would need to look at government objectives on a 5-year rollout. We'd need to look at the issues about, I guess, responsible gambling, the propensity of people, the propensity of gambling, in terms of its position that it occupies within, within the society. We'd need to take a look at the structural issues, the issues which sit around the roles and responsibilities of the NLB in terms of a 5-year strategy. Where is it that NLB wants to be? Do we want to be an independent? Does NLB want to be an independent regulatory body? Does it want to be a regulatory body which has tentacles into the distribution agencies? Is there a requirement for Arguments Act to create an independent inspectorate? I think that those for me would be the types of issues which from a strategic perspective one would want to address on a 5-year platform. In terms of how one monitors those objectives, I think that I think the public sector has got a very well articulated monitoring process. I think that the issue of performance measurement and performance auditing, which is something which is unique to the public sector, it really doesn't exist in the private sector. I think that's a very, very strong leg, and I think that if my view is if you want to optimize in terms of how you measure progress, against not only the financial measures but the performance measures as included in for instance the PFMA.
Honourable Labenia.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. Good day, Mr. Brenner. How do you understand the difference between the roles of the Chief Executive Officer and the Board, and what is the relationship between the Board, the Minister, and Parliament?
I think that the CEO is the chief executive officer has delegated functions from the board of director. I think that there's as a member of the board, you are effectively a non-executive officer. I think that you would delegate the roles and responsibilities as you would see fit to the chief executive officer in order for there to be a rollout of necessary objectives of the organization. I think that the minister is responsible for outlining the objectives of the National Lotteries Board to the board of directors, and the board of directors is responsible to feed that information back to the minister. The relationship between the minister and the parliament, I think, would be that the minister would need to obviously reflect the requirements of parliament in its broad ambit. That would be my understanding of.
Honourable Line.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. Mr. Brenner, how would you ensure that the realistic targets for the CEO are set and that his or her performance is measured accurately? I think that one won't be very challenging for you because you know how to work with figures. Thank you.
Okay. Realistic targets. First, let me underline that figures are just part of the issue. And in fact, to my mind, I think that what we would look for, in respect of setting up a framework for evaluating management and specifically the CEO, would be to understand how the objectives of the NLC are aligned to the actual day-to-day operational practices. So I think that in terms of what is realistic, I think that one needs to use one's judgment as a board member, and I think that one needs to negotiate these and with the chief executive. And I think that obviously as a board member you have an informed view, and obviously as a CEO, chief executive, you would have an informed view. I think that there's a process of negotiation, and if a board is prepared to accept weak performance measurements, well, guess what? That's actually what they will probably be delivered. And if you want to set a stronger level of performance measurement, you need to get the investment and the commitment and the buy-in of the chief executive and obviously the chief executive's management team and all staff within the organization. I think that for me is key. As a management style, I'm very opposed to unilaterally imposing a set of performance measurements. People don't respond well to that. They may not be invested and committed to the attainment of those targets. I think that the second part of the question, can you just repeat it? I can't read my writing.
The second part was actually the accuracy in measures to measure the CEO, but I think you have already alluded to that.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Are there any other questions that members wish to pose? Honourable Khadevi, Honourable van der Veste.
All right. Thank you, Chairperson. Mr. Brenner, I see that you are a chartered accountant.
It means that there are certain high-level responsibilities which you undertake each and every day. Can you expatiate on the current responsibilities you are having, or even in the past, which can help the board in any one way or the other?
I think that's what's from a, and I don't necessarily want to, I think from a chartered accountant perspective, what's important to understand is that you can be a chartered accountant and you can also be a registered auditor. And I'm a registered auditor as well as a chartered accountant. I'm not in public practice, but as a registered auditor, I have a responsibility, as does a chartered accountant, to keep up to date with continuous changes which the profession has undergone, and to continuously embark upon professional development and education. That's in terms of the content side to the requirements of a CA. In terms of what this actually gives in practice to a board, and I can use the board which I currently chair, the audit committee for the Johannesburg Roads Association. It gives us an ability to take a look at and evaluate and monitor the financial performance of the organization in respect of the required legislation. So if you're working under the NFMA, you need to be able to understand that the issues on fruitless and wasteful expenditure the issues on balancing budgets and the issues on budget revisions, etc. And I think that those are important financial functions which a CA can bring to the party. So the financial literacy component of an organization needs to be strong, especially in terms of in current times where maybe liquidity is not, or there's a shortage of finance and there is pressure, there's financial pressure. I think that from a perspective of financial management, which is something else which we're going to take a look at from a financial person, I think the issue for me is to ensure that that whatever cash flows occur within an organization, it is a level of internal control which sits around it. So it means that disbursements from the fund would be properly regulated, it means that there's an expectation as to what that fund would receive and how it would receive it. It would mean one looks at the underlying risks which sit within every transaction which occurs within the organization, and understanding those risks, aligning the audit programs to those risks. So I hope that more of this answers what.
Is that it? Perhaps we can. There was another question, I know, Honourable Van der Westhuizen.
Thank you.
What are you doing?
Just switch it off for the time being. Thank you. Mr. Brenner, many of the community-based organizations, non-governmental organizations, have a lack of capacity in preparing a proper presentation or application for funding. What suggestions would you bring to ensure that such deserving organizations are able to access the funds from the National Lotteries Board if they lack the capacity to properly apply for funding? Do you have any ideas on that?
I think that that's an important question, and I think that it's a very difficult question to address. In my experience, the large organizations have a better understanding of the requirements of their donors, and are able, they probably would have a finance department with a certain amount of financial literacy. I think the small organizations who really work on a much tighter budget struggle with quite a lot with this issue. I think therefore it's incumbent upon the organizations such as NLD and its distribution agencies to facilitate where one can an appropriate funding structure. I would refer back to, and I don't know if I should mention other donor organizations by name, but other organizations who have a worldwide reach, when you make an application to them, they have very standardized formats. So the budget isn't, well, you submit the budget, it's a budget in a prescribed format. And in that, they will ask the questions which need to be, which need to be answered and which need to be verified. So I think that's one particular example of how you would assist a small organization. Every small organization knows that they will be paying salaries, that there will be travel. If you outline the format of the application in a particular way, you may be able to ease the financial administrative load.
Thank you very much. Members, do we have any other questions at all? Honourable Khadebe?
Yes, thank you, Chairperson. On this time of recession, we must get value for every rand that is spent outside. So what strategies do you think should the board implement in order to assess the impact of the funds dispersed?
I think that needs to come into the criteria of funding in terms of the national priorities, which exist, and to get alignment between. That would be the one issue which I would think that one would like to debate with the minister to understand what the priorities are and how it is anticipated. That funding gets dispersed. I think what you don't want to see is you don't want to see wasteful expenditure. You don't want to see irregular expenditure. I think that that side of the irregular wasteful expenditure is a function of internal controls and ensuring that there's proper compliance with those controls, and that needs to flow all the way through the system. I think that the other side of it is the prioritization side of it needs to be once again properly communicated and articulated.
Thank you. Honourable members, are there any other questions you wish to pose, to engage on? If not, perhaps I could just pose one myself here. You indicated your background, and of course we do have CVs and so on. What would be useful for us is to get a better understanding of, you spoke about these forms and some of the international funders and how they do them. But apart from facilitating an application, just broadly speaking, and having a kind of template, being able to use the same form, in what other way can you envisage, that the board, or the DAs could make, implement to facilitate
the broader application, the broader accessibility to funding from CBOs.
I think that part of the solution perhaps would sit in the ability of the DAs to upskill themselves in respect of advisory services, and I think that's quite important. I think that if the interface between the organizations, the donee organizations, is improved via I'm not just referring to to the creation of templates, obviously, but some level of advisory sitting at the DA level. I think that would potentially improve the process. I think that I'm always of the opinion that that's more effective and better communication. This is not a slight on current communication, but I think that one can always look at better communication protocols, which better align themselves with the target organisations that who want to be funded. So I think that those would be two of the issues which I would think would go some way to improving the situation.
Honourable members, perhaps we have completed this particular engagement. Mr. Brenner, we really would like to thank you, certainly myself on behalf of the committee, the Portfolio Committee of Trade and Industry, for making yourself available as a nominee. Mr. Hermans, who's just left us for a moment to attend to an admin matter, will be keeping you in touch, as he has so far, with our process, our progress, and deliberations on the matter. But we thank you again for coming down to Parliament and engaging with us this morning. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for having me.
You may take your leave. Thank you very much.
What was the
actual reason again? Right. And when will he return? So this was the problem when we shifted our dates. Not everyone on the shortlist was immediately available. So it is something we have to deal with as a committee, that we've shortlisted him through no fault of his himself. He's now found himself outside the country. I think Mr. Hermans was proposing that, depending on the committee's decision, of course, if this could be done, I think, is it on Tuesday or something? Is that the idea? But it would have been useful if Mr. Hermans was here with us so we could finalise this. But because I don't want to finalise it with the wrong information, I'm sure you appreciate that. So perhaps we'll leave that in abeyance. I've shared the information with you. It updates the, which is why they couldn't get hold of him, you see, and that kind of thing. But otherwise, everything is on track as scheduled. I just want to remind members that we are meeting. We are scheduled to meet as planned on Friday morning.
One of the candidates, when we contacted all the candidates in terms of when they should be appearing before the committee, informed us that he would be out of the country for the rest from Sunday evening until Saturday morning, and he would not be able to attend because he physically is not in the country. And what I said to him was that I don't have the power to determine when he should come, but the committee will decide. And we will inform him duly on the committee's decision in terms of when the committee would see fit to accommodate him, if they wish to accommodate him, in terms of the time frames that the committee has set out for the interviews.